we're still starting our discussion of mitzvahs, we still have some more introductions to make before we actually get into the mitzvahs themselves. So last week we discussed what is a mitzvah, that we've covered, I hope. So this week I want to discuss, do mitzvahs have reasons? How do we approach reasons for mitzvahs? Meaning that, on the one hand, we could just say, well, mitzvahs are God's commands. Maybe God just wants to challenge us and test us. Do we know that they actually have a purpose behind them? Maybe it's just God chose 13 things to test us with. Maybe there is a deeper meaning to each mitzvah. Maybe it has impact only in the spiritual world, not in our lives. Maybe in our lives there's impact, but spiritually there's nothing deeper. And how do we view the idea of a reason for a mitzvah? So that's what we'll discuss today. So maybe after this week we'll get to the actual mitzvahs themselves, but at least this week we'll discuss reasons for mitzvahs. So before we get into this topic, I want to make a few disclaimers. Number one, if we're asked, why do I do a mitzvah? Someone asks you, why are you doing this mitzvah? The answer is never because of the reason. The answer is because it's a command from God, and that's why I do it. It's the command in the will of the creator of the world. Period. That's it. The reason is in addition to that. The reason is a way we can connect with it in a deeper way. The reason helps understand why God commanded it this way. But in terms of the question, why did you do this mitzvah? The answer is because it is the will of the creator of the world. That's why I do the mitzvah. And this is what the Jews said at Mount Sinai. At Mount Sinai, there's the famous phrase of Naseh V'Nishma that the Jews said, we're going to do, and then we'll understand. First and foremost, the doing. Understanding comes later. So whether we understand or not, we have to do. And we hope to eventually understand. And if we don't, that should not impact our observance itself. That's a very important disclaimer, number one. And that was, the Jews were praised by God for saying that those words at Mount Sinai, saying Naseh V'Nishma. That was one of our great accomplishments in Mount Sinai, to say we're committed to you, God, no matter what. Even if it's beyond our comprehension why we're doing certain things, we're going to be committed to you and do them anyways. So that's one disclaimer. A second disclaimer is we can never fully understand God's will. Our minds are just creations of God. Our minds are not unlimited. Our minds are limited. And God is unlimited. So as much as we can try to understand the mitzvah, we can never think we're going to get to every single point and aspect, understand it in its fullest way. Ultimately, it's God's will, it's God's wisdom, it's God's desire, and that's not something I can necessarily understand in my own mind, my human mind. My mind is limited, it's a creation, it's a tool God gave me, which a very powerful tool God gave me to function in this world. But there's a certain point where my mind can't even comprehend certain things. And it works even in, I mentioned this before, even in a very simple sense, in our world, there's certain things we can't understand. Infinity. We can't understand the end of space. We can't understand there's the famous question of free choice versus God's knowledge of the future. All these questions, the human mind kind of just, it's like when you divide by zero on a calculator, you get error. That's what it's like, you know, dividing by zero. We just can't deal with such an idea, such a concept. So the human mind is limited. We have our limitations. And therefore, even if we discuss the reasons for mitzvos, we can never think we're fully going to understand God. We can't fully understand God's reasoning. And we can make our best attempt to understand a mitzvah, but ultimately we may not get to the real understanding of it. That's a second disclaimer. A third disclaimer is that even if we feel we did understand the mitzvah, there may be reasons far beyond those that we understand. So let's take a simple one. We understand, you know, not stealing is a pretty straightforward mitzvah. We're not allowed to steal. We understand it creates the chaos. It's, you know, I work hard on something. I work hard. I buy something. It belongs to me. There's ownership. We understand how society has to be built on rules and regulations, and theft being one of them. We understand benefits of it. However, we can't say, well, that's the only reason. God may have some deeper reason, spiritual realms, and mystical reason, you know, practical reason. God may have other reasons as well why stealing is forbidden. And therefore, even though I understand why stealing is forbidden, there may be a lot of other reasons behind it beyond that which my mind grasps. So that's the third disclaimer. We will attempt to understand all the reasons, but there may be reasons far beyond those we can figure out, which you can view from another angle as well, which means that, let's say I read about a mitzvah, and I think the mitzvah is irrational. It doesn't make sense to me. You know, I read the reasons that the rabbis give, I read the Talmud, it gives me a reason, I look at the Torah's reasoning, and it seems kind of illogical, irrational, irrelevant, but that doesn't mean it's the only reason. So I can't discard the mitzvah saying, yeah, this doesn't apply to me, because God may have 26 other reasons why he gave that mitzvah, and we're only privy to two of them. So even if those two may not seem logical to us, doesn't mean there aren't another 24 which are powerful reasons which we do have to work with. Yes?
I wanted to ask you, the mitzvahs you are talking about are all from the Torah, and the rabbinical decrees is called also mitzvah?
I'm focusing on the Torah.
The rabbis decided right. The chicken is not dairy, right?
Right.
That's from the rabbis.
It's from the rabbis. I'm focusing on the Torah mitzvot right now. The mitzvahs from the rabbis are a different discussion.
Are they also mitzvahs? Like
some of them we actually do call mitzvahs, but there's clearly a difference. There's a hierarchy. There's rabbinic mitzvahs, there's Torah mitzvahs. So, but what I'm discussing now is the Torah mitzvahs.
The Torah mitzvahs given by God to Moshe to us.
Yes.
Period.
Yeah, that's what I'm discussing now. The rabbinic ones are another discussion, a poor discussion, not for right now.
The 613.
613 are the Torah mitzvahs. That's what I'm focusing on.
How many are the mitzvahs of the rabbis?
Officially, I believe there is six.
Mitzvahs.
But they have a lot of. But for instance, the idea of chicken with milk, it's not a separate mitzvah, it's a protection on a Torah mitzvah. That's not viewed as its own mitzvah. It's viewed as they're trying to protect us from violating a Torah mitzvah.
613.
So that rule, the rule of the chicken and milk is something which would be subsumed under the Torah mitzvah of meat and milk, but it's not its own rabbinic mitzvah.
When we finish those, then we'll go to the next ones.
But for instance, let's say lighting the Chanukah menorah is a rabbinic mitzvah. It's not the lighting the Chanukah menorah is not trying to safeguard any Torah mitzvah. It's its own rabbinic enactment to mark a certain event in Jewish history.
Okay.
So that's a rabbinic mitzvah on its own right. So you see a difference between the two. But yeah, we're focusing on the Torah mitzvahs right now. That's my focus for now. And that's my third disclaimer. And the fourth disclaimer I'd like to make is that even when a mitzvah seems, I mentioned irrational or irrelevant, and there's a difference. I might understand the reasons it doesn't apply to me, or I might say this reason sounds ambiguous to me. But either way, we still have to understand that the mitzvahs are from God. We trust that the mitzvah is beneficial to us on some level, is true on some level. And even though my mind might either feel it's irrational or irrelevant, that cannot impact my approach to that mitzvah, my performance of the mitzvah, my dedication to the mitzvah. Because ultimately, it's a command from God, and God knows what's best for us. And even if we think we know what's best for ourselves, we don't, and God does. So, that's another disclaimer. So, as we get into discussing reasons for mitzvahs, it could lead to a slippery slope. A person says, well, that reason doesn't apply to me. I don't feel it's relevant. Therefore, I'll push this one aside. I'll be a little lax with it. So I want to make sure that does not happen in any of this discussion we're going to have. We have to understand God knows what's best for us, and the benefits are there, whether we understand them or not, whether we feel they're relevant or not, whether we feel they're logical or not. The mitzvah has to be performed and appreciated, just like any other mitzvah which we do understand. So those are all my disclaimers. Now, putting that aside, we can actually discuss the ideas of reasons for mitzvahs. So my first question is, do mitzvahs have reasons? Very, very simple question. And as I introduced before, maybe there are opinions out there. This is not the mainstream approach, but there are opinions out there in the early commentaries which say that mitzvahs may have no logical reason. God had to challenge us. God had to give us, like we mentioned last week, a job in this world. So God chose 613 things to challenge us with. Those are the mitzvahs. Is there any underlying reason to every single mitzvah? Not necessarily. God just needed to give us jobs. So therefore, God gave us all these jobs to do. Some of them we may understand, some we don't understand, but ultimately the purpose of mitzvah is not the reason. The purpose is just to be a job for us to do. That's one approach out there, not the mainstream approach. The Rambam cites that approach. He actually says it's even an approach in the Talmud itself. But the Rambam, Maimonides, says that's not the approach we take. That's not the mainstream approach, how we understand mitzvahs. And he says we understand that mitzvahs do have reasons. That's number one. So we're going to work on the premise that mitzvahs do have reasons. And they do have reasons which we could possibly understand to a certain degree. And most authorities agree with the Rambam that mitzvahs do have reasons, and reasons that we should try to understand, that we could understand. And we're going to work. That's the premise we're going to work with in this class right now. So the Rambam describes that all mitzvahs have reasons and benefits to us in this world. And he says, if we don't understand the mitzvah, then it's not because the mitzvah is at fault, we're at fault. I mean, our minds are just coming short of understanding it. And he cites a verse in the Torah. The Torah says, it is not empty from you. I'm referring to the Torah. The Torah is not something empty from you. And the word from you in that verse is a little bit strange what it means. So the rabbis say what it means is that the Torah is not empty, and if you think it's empty, it's from you. I mean, it's your fault. It's your perspective that makes it look empty. But the Torah is full, the Torah is complete, the Torah is powerful. If you find one part of the Torah which you feel is empty, you feel it's not relevant, you feel it's not important, so then that's mikem, that's your own fault. That's not the Torah's fault. That's because you have not yet achieved the understanding which isn't in the Torah, which is there. That's the Rambam cites. So the Rambam says very, very clearly that we do approach it, that there is a reason for every mitzvah, and we just have to work on understanding it. Now, there are definitely different levels of mitzvahs, and there's a famous concept. You have mitzvahs that are called chukim, and mitzvahs called mishpatim. Mishpatim are mitzvahs which we view as logical mitzvahs, in that even had I not had a Torah, human society would also devise these laws. Maybe not the same exact details, maybe a little bit different. We remember, murder and theft and adultery. A lot of these things you might say are mitzvahs which would be more logical based on human concepts. And these types of mitzvahs, these sort of laws could exist even out of Torah being given by God. So that we refer to as mishpatim. And it's laws that are interpersonal relationships, laws of business, those types of laws. You have another category of mitzvahs which are called chukim. And chukim we usually understand as mitzvahs whose reasons are not readily understood. And those, I guess, you could categorize as the more religious obligations, such as eating kosher, meat and milk, shaking your lulav, eating matzah, not wearing shatnez, wool linen together, all these things which we don't have any rational explanation from within the framework of normal everyday life, but yet those are mitzvahs in the Torah as well. So as we look at those, we usually refer to as chukim.
What's the name, chuk?
Chok.
No.
Chok is a law.
So chok, law.
Yeah. Oh. As opposed to mishpat. Both, I guess, are translated
mishpat
as law.
Mishpat is a judgment.
Chok is a law.
Chok is a law.
So one's a law and one's a judgment.
Right. And in the English translation, you kind of lose the point. But the way that the commentaries understand it in the Torah is the difference between mishpat is something which is readily understood, and chok is something which is not quite as easily understood. The foremost of the chukim we usually look at as the laws of the Parah Aduma, the red cow. That's used as the paradigm of a chok, which is something which just seems to be totally irrational and illogical, besides the fact that a red cow can purify somebody. But in the ceremony of the red cow, which is supposed to purify a person from tumah, from spiritual impurity, the person who is sprinkling the ashes of the red cow, he himself becomes impure. Anybody who touches it becomes impure, so it's a purifying tool which makes other people impure. It doesn't fully make sense. It's not rational. So that's kind of contradictory in its own right. That's viewed as the paradigm of chukim. But we can list dozens of chukim as well, other mitzvahs of the Torah which are not readily understood, things which we don't, within the physical world, we have no explanation. So that's that's a typical distinction made. But yet the Rambam says, even chukim, there is a reason for, and we can attempt to understand. The chok of the red cow, so that's something which the rabbis say, even King Solomon had trouble understanding, so even the wisest of all men couldn't fully comprehend that mitzvah. But other chukim we can certainly take a shot at and try to understand, which hopefully over the course of these coming lectures we'll try to understand some of them. But that's the essential difference between a chok and a mishpat. Now the Rambam in the same discussion makes a caveat. He says that he cites a midrash. The midrash says, it's discussing the idea of slaughtering an animal. And when you slaughter a kosher animal, it has to be slaughtered in a very, very precise way, from the front with a very sharp knife, cutting through the exact right parts of the neck. So the Midrash says that, but what does God care if I cut the animal from the front or the back? What does that matter to God? So the Midrash says, well, rather, it's just because God gave mitzvahs just to refine the human being. So God doesn't really care which way I slaughter the animal, but God wants to refine me, therefore he gave me the mitzvah. That's the words of the Midrash. So the Rambam says, well, it sounds like from this Midrash that God that the mitzvah doesn't really have much of a reason. God doesn't really care about it. It's more that he wants me to be refined. So he's trying to give me rules to follow. As he mentioned,
isn't it? Refined to make me better, pay more attention.
I guess obedience, committed, discipline.
But doesn't it have to do with the carotis, where the carotis of the animal is, so it can die quickly?
So we'll get there. We'll get to that point in a minute. But the wording of this midrash is that, well, what does God care? Which way I slaughter it? And the truth is, you go from the back, you can go from the front, you'll get to the same parts of the neck. Just a matter of which direction you go in. So you end up cutting the same two you need to cut the windpipe in the esophagus, basically, the esophagus and the trachea, basically. So the no matter which direction you go, you'll still get to those two parts of the neck. So what's the difference? But the halacha is you have to go from the front. You go from the back, the animal's not kosher. So the Rambam says that the way we understand that midrash, and we're gonna, this is actually a dispute amongst the authorities to understand this, but the Rambam says that there's a difference between the general concepts and the details. It says the general concept of mitzvah of shechita, of slaughtering the animal, is that we don't want to cause too much pain to the animal. So we try to kill it in a very quick way. But whether I cut it from the front or the back, or I you know, give it a lethal injection, or I put it in the electric chair, or I knock with a baseball bat, those are details which we don't understand, he says. Why God wants it to be exactly in that way? Because you could think of other ways you kill an animal very fast, which would render the animal non-kosher. So the Rambam distinguishes between the details and the concept. The concept is we should learn mercy, and we should be merciful in the animal and not make the animal too much pain. The details of I have to cut exactly, you know, this speed and with this type of knife from this angle and this part of the neck, etc. That's something which we can't fully understand the reasons for. That's the Rambam says.
Is it written in the Torah how to do the shechita of the animal?
The Torah says do shechita,
yeah,
and it's part of the oral tradition how we do it. So it's part of
the
oral
the
tradition.
Talmud.
It's in the Talmud. Yeah, how exactly to do it. So that's the Rambam, Maimonides. The Ramban, Nachmanides, disputes this idea.
Oh.
And he says that.
Is he the grandson of the Rambam?
No, I don't think they're related. The Rambam was much earlier, and they weren't related. The Nachmanides, the Ramban explains, and he basically agrees to the Rambam in the overall premise. The mitzvahs have reasons, and mitzvahs are all there to help us, you know, gain and grow and benefit. But yet he says even the details would also have reasons, and he says that when the midrash says, but what does God care? Which way you start the animal, whether it be from the front or the back. It doesn't mean that the details aren't that important. What it means is that God personally gains nothing out of it himself. It's all for the human being. So the Ramban says, when it says what does God care, it means that, you know, God personally is perfect. God is complete. God needs nothing out of us. So in terms of God, from his angle, what does he care which way I do it? Rather, he gave it to people to refine us, meaning that, but the reason he gave us mitzvah is not for his own need, but for our needs. Because we're supposed to learn lessons from every single mitzvah and every detail of mitzvah as well, the Ramban says. Even the details matter. So therefore, he says that the concept is that God's trying to train me, let's say, to be merciful. And therefore, when I slaughter the animal in this way, that's how I'm learning mercy. And even those exact details, that's also important. We have to understand the details. Details also require understanding. So we have to understand how come this angle matters, how come this side of the neck matters. But overall, every single mitzvah is there to train the person, and even the details of the mitzvah to train the person as well. That's how the Ramban understands it.
So now the person that's the shechet, who's doing the work, has all of his insight and understanding. But how does it affect us? We're eating the piece of meat afterwards, but we didn't get any of that feeling because we didn't kill it.
Right.
If you kill
but,
it...
But you're paying a much higher fee than the animals.
No,
it probably hurts you more than the animal.
No, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's a good question.
It's interesting but what about the rest of us?
In two ways. Number one, you're recognizing the value of having that meat. Instead of buying the cheaper meat, you're buying the kosher meat, recognizing the value of kosher meat. And number two,
it's still
worthwhile to study the laws and understand the mitzvah if you're not going to perform yourself.
So we gain something by understanding what that person did.
Right.
We can try to relate to
it. Because in terms of Torah study, you're supposed to study all parts of the Torah, even those parts you may not perform yourself.
Okay.
As we talked about a little bit last week also, you know, women are obligated in all mitzvahs, kings, kohanim, everyone's required in all these mitzvahs, so everybody can study all the laws.
The 613, how many do we hold these days? I mean, a lot of them we don't.
Right, yeah, it's probably down to a third, a fourth of what is there. But it's all in the study and understanding of it.
So the person that does it is really attuned to what this is to feel like.
Right, so
he
should
learn it,
right.
Like I'm learning here,
right.
To be able to understand what he's feeling.
Right.
Okay.
And you tap into that concept now when you learn about it. So there's another question which is posed. The Ramban and the Rambam talk about this question. There's a quote in the Mishnah. And the Mishnah talks about somebody who's up leading the tefillah, the chazan leading the services. And the Mishnah says, it's discussing the mitzvah of sending away the mother bird to take the eggs. It's a mitzvah in the Torah, you can't take the eggs unless you send away the mother bird first. And the Mishnah says, if there's somebody who's the Chazan, and he's trying to compose his own prayers, and he says to God, he says, Al kan sipur yagiu rachamecha, your mercy even reaches the bird's nest, it says we silence him. We pull him out of there.
Don't
be quiet.
That's right? The concept.
So he's up there trying to compose his own prayer. He says, God, you're so merciful, your mercy even reaches the bird's nest. And we're supposed to silence him. So we say, stop it. Don't say that. So why are we supposed to silence him? So the Gemara explains two possible reasons why to silence him. The Gemara says, number one, we're promoting jealousy amongst all the creations. And God didn't have that same mercy on any other animal, only on birds. So why are we showing that God favors birds versus other animals? That's one point the Gemara says. The other point the Gemara says, which is more relevant to our discussion, is that what's he doing? This person is trying to show that God's mitzvahs are actually trying to teach us mercy. But really, they're just divine decrees. That's the Gemara says, that it could be that mitzvahs are just divine decrees. It's not because the God's attribute is an attribute of mercy. That's the words of the Gemara.
So he made his own definition of what this is supposed to be, and because he did that, he's ostracized by the community because he has no right to do that.
Right, so we'll discuss if he has a right or not. But that seems to be the simple understanding of Gemara, correct.
Uh-huh.
So the Rambam, Maimonides, says, well, this seems to question my concept that mitzvahs have reason we can understand. And he says, it does. He says it's correct. But there's two opinions in the Gemara, and I go with the second opinion. The first opinion would say there's no reasons for mitzvahs that we can understand. But that's not the mainstream approach. The mainstream approach is the second opinion, which says there are reasons for mitzvahs, and we're allowed to delve into the reasons. That's the Rambam's approach to this Gemara. But Nachmanides, the Ramban, has a different approach. He says that we have to understand the perspective of this Chazan. What's he saying? He's saying that your mercy reaches the bird's nest. That implies that the reason God gave us this mitzvah is because God cared about the poor little bird.
About
the poor little bird. God cared about the bird. Ramban says God doesn't care about the bird. God cares about the human being. That's what God cares about. And the reason God gave us the mitzvah, the reason is mercy. The reason this mitzvah is to teach us about mercy as well. Not to be cruel, not to do things in front of somebody to make them upset. But it's not because God feels mercy for the bird, it's because God wants to train us in mercy. So this Chazan said, God, you're so merciful, you even have mercy on the birds. That's not true, the Ramban says. God doesn't have mercy on birds. Birds just work on instinct. They don't have free choice. They're not the purpose of this world. The purpose of the world is the human being. The human being has free choice. The human being can strive to spirituality. So this mitzvah's reason is to teach mercy. But it's not because God has mercy on birds. It's because God's training us in mercy. It's a training exercise. The human being should learn how to be merciful. So the Chazan in the Gemara, the Mishnah cites, who says your mercy reaches the bird's nest, what he's saying is not true. We cannot say that God has mercy on birds. What we could say is God wants us to learn how to be merciful. So therefore God gave us a mitzvah which trains us in mercy. That's what the Ramban says. I think that's a very accepted approach to the Ramban, that Hashem personally has no need for a mitzvah. Hashem's not trying to gain anything personally out of a mitzvah. It's not that Hashem has mercy on the poor birds who tells all of his servants, go out there, take care of the bird. It's that Hashem is trying to train us through mitzvahs. Mitzvahs are just train us in certain character traits and midos and concepts and understandings. And therefore, every single mitzvah should be viewed as a training exercise in how to improve and elevate and refine a human being. That's how you should view a mitzvah. And that seems to be, I think, the accepted mainstream approach, is that mitzvahs do have reasons. The reasons are not for God's benefit, the reasons are for the human's benefit, but yet there are attainable, understandable reasons for mitzvahs. That's the, Hashem personally has no need, he's just trying to elevate the human being. So that's, and many other authorities agree to the approach of the Nachmanides, the Ramban, which is, that's a very accepted mainstream approach. So just to recap where we are right now is that we're going with the premise that mitzvahs have reasons, understandable reasons, yet those reasons are not because God wants to gain from it. The reasons are that God has a vision for the human being, and God's trying to train the human being in goodness and understanding and in certain concepts of spirituality, and therefore every mitzvah is supposed to be to refine us. And it even goes for the details. Again, there is an opinion that details themselves may just be divine decree, but yet there is an approach which says that details, each detail is symbolic, each detail fits into God's framework in some way, and it is worthwhile to understand the details as well. Okay, so let's move into that. So that's answering the question, do they have reasons? Now there is the next question is, okay, now that mitzvahs have reasons, how much time should we take in delving into those reasons? Is it worth our time? Is it worthwhile for us to delve into the reasons themselves? So mitzvahs have, we're taking it as a given mitzvahs have reasons, but maybe it's not worth my time to delve into it. I mean, for the following reasons, for two reasons. Number one, it could be that the reasons are just too deep and too far beyond us, this is not worthwhile to try to understand them. And it may also be that the reasons cause a risk, as we said before. There's a risk in that if we try to understand the reason, and we think, well, the reason doesn't apply to me, maybe I'll become lax in my observance. Even though I shouldn't, because it's still God's will that I perform this mitzvah. But if I think, you know, the reason is only X, and, you know, either X is irrelevant to me, I'm already a very merciful person anyways, you know, I understand it. I did mercy, I don't need this one, I'll take the exile, send away the mother bird, whatever it is. Not a problem for me. So, that guy, he needs to learn mercy, not me, you know. So it's risky. It's a slippery slope which a person can enter in upon when they try to delve into reasons of mitzvahs. And also it could degrade or belittle the mitzvah, because if our meager mind tries to put a reason on a mitzvah, which is not the ultimate reason, so now we've downgraded the mitzvah. And we're not going to treat it with the respect and reverence that it's supposed to have. On the other hand, when we understand the reason of a mitzvah, it helps deepen our experience. If I just take the lulav and shake it, that's one level of doing a mitzvah. If I understand what it symbolizes, understand what I'm supposed to learn from it, if I understand what effect it can have in the world, in the spiritual world, in the physical world, so then I've now bonded with the mitzvah in a much deeper way. So, and I'm tasting God's wisdom, and I'm actually benefiting of the concept of the mitzvah. If I don't understand it, so I still need to do the mitzvah, and I still benefit from it in some, you know, deeper, more esoteric way.
I don't understand what is the mitzvah in the shaping of the
That's another class,
that's
right?
Another
shows, but now we know there is a reason. We have to study the reasons, right? But there are reasons to it, and it really bonds you more with the mitzvah. If you understand the mitzvah, we become more bonded with the mitzvah. So that's the that's actually another dispute amongst the very early authorities. The Rambam says that one should delve into the mitzvah. One should try their best to understand the mitzvah and its reason. And again, that helps us really bond and connect to the mitzvah and really get the full benefits of it. Other authorities, such as the Tor, who was one of the earliest halachic authorities, he says that, you know, it's not worth our time. He says that do the mitzvah, be obedient, if you understand it, great, but to spend time focusing on the reason is not necessarily a recommended approach. Nowadays, most authorities, I think, do take the approach that it is worthwhile to understand the reasons. But you can put a limit on it as well. If we're going to spend hours and hours trying to figure out every single detail of every mitzvah, so that could be something which is not worth our time. It could be something which might just cause, you know, more of either a waste of time or cause us to misunderstand mitzvahs rather than fully understand it. But to understand the concept, the overall concept of a mitzvah, that's extremely important. And that's something which typically the mainstream approach nowadays is that we do try to understand those concepts. And that really allows us to connect with the mitzvah and really perform it to the best of our abilities. So that comes with a lot of study. We have to study the sources, think about it, use our minds, try to figure out why would God want me to do such a mitzvah? Why is this important?
The other branches of Judaism have made this reasoning judgment, and they've changed what.
Right. Exactly.
So it's a good example of what happens
the
when
risk
you
involved.
Start reasoning.
Right.
You end up not doing.
Right.
So that
goes back to my original disclaimers, right?
That it is risky.
The reason can never affect our observance. That's nasev and nishma, we do, and then we understand.
Right.
Right. If I reason, well, God probably would prefer that I drive to shul on Shabbos than stay home, so then I'm trying to project my reasoning on God's mitzvahs.
Right.
Right? And I have no right to do such a thing. God said you cannot, you know, drive on Shabbos or light a fire, etc., fuel a fire on Shabbos. So, even though I may have 10 reasons why it'd be better for me spiritually to fuel that fire and drive my car on Shabbos, God said no. I'm not one who can say, well, I know better than God, or this is really why God said no, and I can figure out why yes. I can say something. So there's definitely a risk involved, which we have to be careful with, which is why I made so many disclaimers when we started the class. but the approach, again, the mainstream approach nowadays is that we need to have an understanding of it. Especially, you know, a modern-day American, to say just be obedient, don't understand, just do. It kind of goes against how we act. I mean, the way nowadays we try to understand everything, we try to do as we feel is right. And to say, you know, just listen, don't understand, just do, a blind faith. So that's something we have a lot of difficulty with. So I think there's a lot to gain from trying to understand the reasons of mitzvahs, because it really develops more of an appreciation and more of a connection and more of a motivation to perform the mitzvahs properly. Next question is, can mitzvahs have multiple reasons? Does mitzvah just have, is there one reason for mitzvah? Or are there multiple layers of reasoning? And the answer to that question seems to be across the board, yes. According to all the sources and authorities, mitzvahs can have multiple reasons. And it starts, first there's a concept that the Gemara says, I am Talmud Torah. The Torah has 70 facets to it. 70 different facets. So basically, you know, every line of the Torah, every mitzvah of the Torah, every concept of the Torah could have 70 different perspectives on it. So there's 70 different perspectives. Yeah, so the number 70 has, it ties into Sanhedrin. There's a concept, there's 70 original languages in the world, 70 different nations in the world. Right. Yeah, 70 is a very commonly used number throughout the Talmud, throughout the works of the rabbis. We also say there's 70 facets of the Torah. So every mitzvah can also have, let's say, 70 different perspectives on it. Maybe there's 70 reasons why God gave you this mitzvah. Beyond that, there's a concept of pardes, that every line of the Torah has four layers of understanding. Starting, we call it pardes, which stands for
there's
four layers.
The Torah?
What?
Every
line, every lesson, every verse has four different levels of understanding, which we call pardes, standing for pshat, remez, drush, and sod, ranging from the most simple reading of the text to the mystical Kabbalistic understanding of the text and everything in between. So when I do a mitzvah, it may have a very easy physical explanation, but it also has a much deeper, mystical, more spiritual explanation, which I may not be privy to, or maybe privy to, whatever it may be. But the point is, mitzvahs can have, you know, layers and layers of reasons, many, many reasons, many levels of understanding, which again leads us to the idea, just because I understand one reason and I feel it's not relevant, doesn't mean that there aren't another 25 reasons out there that are extremely relevant. So that's why we can never shun or put aside a specific mitzvah. The reasons, the benefits can range in so many levels. It could be a physical benefit, it could be psychological, it could be spiritual, it could be mystical, it could train me in character development and mitos, it could improve relationships, it could help me connect better with God. There's so many different reasons, so many different layers and reasons a mitzvah can have that we can never just think, you know, this is it. And even with thinking a very simple example, we discussed the prohibition of stealing, of theft. So on a very simple level, a society can't run if we don't have rules of ownership and possession. And that's really the basis of any functioning society. It trains us in not being selfish, trains us in hard work, it trains us in recognizing limits. There's so many different ways that we can be trained, just really simply understanding the mitzvah of not stealing. When it comes to, so let's call it, take a chuk for example. Let's say eating kosher food. So there are those who might say there are health benefits to it, which some say there really may be health benefits to it. There are benefits, the Torah itself says that in a certain sense, non-kosher food can clog up the soul. How is it? We discussed this like a few weeks back. How does it clog up the soul? We don't really understand how it clogs up the soul. But the same way a fatty food can give us a heart attack, so non-kosher food can give us a neshama attack. It causes the soul to become less sensitive in a certain sense. So that's the idea of, and then it could be that, we said slaughtering the meat properly trains me in mercy. That I'm not going to be cruel to the animal, I'm going to treat the animal in a merciful way so it doesn't feel pain as it dies. And you can keep on going with the rules of eating kosher and understanding the different layers of benefits it has to the human being. And then there's all the mystical dimension of it, which has to do with the rectifying all sorts of spiritual world, which we don't understand how it works, but also it works on that level as well. So there's so many layers of understanding. And this is a quote that Nachmanides says, Ramban describes, that the mitzvahs of Hashem have many reasons, and each one has many, many benefits to the body and to the soul. That's the quote. So we could try to attempt to understand some reasoning, but there may be many reasons we don't understand, and that's okay too. And where that has a practical application, number one, it's on the side that we should not shun the mitzvah if we don't understand the reason, because it could be another 30 reasons out there that we don't understand. But beyond that, even if we're aware of certain reasons, some reasons we'll find more inspiring, some we'll find more rational, some we'll find more relevant to ourselves. And it's okay if we do a mitzvah, we focus on the reasons we feel are more inspirational. That's okay too. The also goes the other way in explaining a mitzvah to someone else, answering a question. So sometimes you want to look at the person asking you and say, well, which reason of this mitzvah that I'm aware of will they find most appealing? You know, somebody who is not Jewish asks you, why do you eat kosher food? And let's assume somebody is aware of four reasons why kosher food is a good thing. So number one, the first reason always has to be because God said so, like we said before. It's a command from God, finished. But there are benefits to it. And if this person is kind of a spiritual type person, you could say, yeah, because the non-kosher food will clog up your soul. This person, you know, is a very, very, like, rational type person, not up there and floating around in spiritual thoughts. So you could tell, you know, there's maybe there's health benefits to it. I mean, I'm just making things up right now. We're not going to talk about kosher food at this point. But since there are many reasons, it's not dishonest to focus on one reason. It's the one reason which you feel speaks to you. That's okay, too. So when you go to perform the mitzvah, you can think about that reason. That'll give you more of an experience, and that'll be inspirational to you. And it could be that next week, the next one will speak to you, and you'll focus on the other reason as well. But the mitzvahs have so many reasons, it gives us a lot of opportunities to tap into it from different perspectives, different angles, and draw different inspiration for each and every mitzvah.
So if I think of a reason, don't I have to, like, tell somebody else about it? How do I know that my reason is even rationally or...
Excellent question.
You know, I can't just sit around making up my own reasons and then say, well, that's my reason, that's it. Do you have to ask somebody?
I'll answer the question in two ways. Number one is that if you find that reason in earlier sources, you find that reason in the Talmud, find that reason in the Torah, you find that reason discussed by the great rabbinic authorities like Maimonides or Nachmanides, you know that you're on target. That's one way. But then there's a concept. I know you love Rav Hirsch. So Rav Hirsch is one of his big fields of study was the reasons for mitzvahs. He has a book, Achori, which is all about reasons for mitzvahs. Rav Hirsch has all sorts of writings on symbolism of mitzvahs, reasons for mitzvahs. Rav Hirsch has a very important point. He says it's okay for a human being to think up their own reason for a mitzvah, but it has to fit all of the guidelines and halachos of that mitzvah. So if you could fit it into all the rules of the mitzvah, so then probably you're on target. But if you have a reason in your mind for the rule of mitzvah, but you can think of six aspects or guidelines or halachos of the mitzvah which don't fit into your reasoning, then probably you're off. That's what Rav Hirsch says. So
we're fixed as to what the reasonings for the mitzvahs are.
Right.
There is a definitive box that they go in.
Right. I mean, take a mitzvah. You know, the mitzvah tefillin. So the mitzvah tefillin is on the arm or on the head. The boxes are black. Right. You have your straps. You have your shins. You have all. So if your reason fits in, you can fit in all these concepts, so then your reason's probably on target. But if your reason would suggest, you know, suggest that tefillin should be green, but tefillin are black, then probably you're off.
That's what's happened with Korach.
Right.
The blue.
Yeah, he made the argument.
Right. He made the argument, but he was ignored. He took the reason, and then because of that, he was lax in the mitzvah. Right. That he didn't listen to my disclaimer in the beginning. You know? No problem. Yeah, Korach is a good example. Korach is somebody who thought he understood the reason for a mitzvah. He said, well, it doesn't apply in situation X, and therefore, Moshe, you're crazy. That's basically what Korach said.
You have the mezuzah. If you have all the Torah in your house,
right, why do you need mezuzah
on
your door?
Why do you have to have mezuzahs on your door?
Right.
When you already have them in your house. So.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so Korach took these concepts and ran with them in the wrong direction. The Korach, in a certain sense, I was a predecessor of these movements in Judaism that do the same thing. They'll take a reason for a mitzvah and therefore make exceptions based on the reason. And that's something we can't do because even though Korach's right, it could be, you know, one concept of the mezuzah is to remind you of God as you walk into the house. Right. And if my house is full of Sefer Torah, why do I need it? But remember, there could be another 65 reasons out there for the mitzvah which Korach wasn't privy to. You know, and so that's something which, you know, that was a big mistake of Korach. But this is an important thing. The mitzvahs have multiple reasons. They can work on so many levels, and therefore, we can't shun a mitzvah because we don't understand all the reasons, and we're allowed to focus on the reasons which really inspire us if we choose to do so.
So really, conservative and reform are manipulating the reasoning of the mitzvahs.
Right. That's really where conservative. That's where they started. A lot of what they do, they're saying, I understand the reason for this mitzvah. I feel nowadays it's not relevant for reason X, Y, or Z.
That's what they
And therefore, we'll do it differently.
Exactly.
And then they take a vote on it, too. But then they do it differently after that, you know?
Right.
So that's what we say. That's really where we feel they went wrong, because mitzvahs are this is the absolute command of God, and we can't comprehend everything about a mitzvah. That's one point where we would say.
How did they come up with the female rabbis?
I don't know. I don't know the history of it. I'm not sure. I don't know. The next point in mitzvahs is we've discussed before details. And we said that the Rambam discusses how details are not necessarily to be understood. Details may just be divine decrees. We discussed that. That was one opinion of the Rambam. Other authorities say that details could be understood. And then there's a question. Can our minds really fathom the full symbolism of the details of mitzvahs? So you take any mitzvah of the Torah, so you have the concept, but you have so many details go along with it. The concept of Shabbos, that one should rest on the seventh day, and remember that God rested on the seventh day, that's a pretty easy concept to tap into. But you go through all the rules and regulations of Shabbos, the 39 different forbidden labors, and all the subcategories, everything else, there's so many details. Is every single detail going to fit into the major concept? Can I understand why there's so many details or not? So the Rambam says the details could be beyond, out of our league, basically. And other authorities do follow in his footsteps and say the details, it's not worth our time focusing on details. Reasons may exist for the details, others say, but it's crazy to spend time contemplating these details. And then we come to, there are other opinions, such as Rav Hirsch, and other opinions say that if we can understand the symbolism of detail, then it's worthwhile, and we should. Rav Hirsch's writings are all built on viewing the details of the mitzvahs, and based on the details, working out a general concept of the mitzvah. That's really what he does, which is really a beautiful, incredible experience. You read through his writings and you see what he does with them. So again, the details themselves, it seems to be that they're much more difficult to understand each and every detail, as we can relate to. There is a reason for it, according to many authorities. It's not just divine whim, or divine decree even. But to spend time on details may not be a wise thing to do, because it could be it's far beyond us. That's one approach to it. So I've given us a lot of different approaches to mitzvahs. But just to wrap it up, let's just the approach which, in my mind, seems to be the mainstream modern-day approach of how to deal with these types of concepts would be that mitzvahs have reasons. It is definitely beneficial to delve into the reasons. To delve into the details may be just too difficult or time-consuming or complex to deal with. If we can explain the details, that's beautiful and great, but I don't think that spending time on worrying about every single detail, why it is this way, necessarily something we should be spending time on. So we have to follow details, we have to perform the mitzvah exactly as it's been presented to us, but to spend the time on every single detail, why exactly this way, how come the black dot on this part of the esrog is a problem, and why is the black dot over here not a problem? So that's something which, you know, could be we don't have an answer to that. Not that there isn't an answer, but we don't have the answer to it. But overall, we should delve into the reasons to enrich our experience as Jews, understand the message of each mitzvah, know that any reason given is only one of many reasons. We should take inspiration from the reasons that are there, connect and bond with the mitzvah based on the reasons, but again, never should our observance be contingent upon the reasons. That's an important point. We have to just keep remembering that whenever a mitzvah sounds to us, there are mitzvahs that may sound illogical or irrational or irrelevant, but our observance can never ever be based on the reasoning. Our observance is based on the fact that the first answer is why you do mitzvah, the answer is because God said so. That's the first answer.
That's how orthodoxy stays.
Right.
Otherwise.
Right, exactly. There's an obedience and a faith. There's a faith that this is the right thing to do, whether I understand it or not. And that's what we build our religion upon, is we build our lives on that. That God knows best, this is the word of God, and therefore we're going to follow it, whether we understand it or not, seven nishma. At a certain point, we hope to understand, and we try. We have a lifetime to delve into the mitzvahs, try to understand them all. But ultimately, we perform them because it's the command of God, and for no other reason. So from here on out, I guess after this week, we're going to try to take individual mitzvahs and try to discuss some of the reasons given, the lessons of individual mitzvahs. But again, never at the expense of performing them. Any questions?
I have a question about the week.